and you know what time it is. And guess what? We're going to be, this is JT, this is Jerry, and this is the No Chaser Show. I am riding solo tonight, and we're going to start this show off like this.
I want winners.
Absolutely. I hear you.
DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
Okay, okay, okay. It is me, JT. And like I said, I am flying solo tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. Since I am flying solo tonight and Mac is unavailable, he's pulled away at the last minute, which is fine. We cover each other. We do what we do to take the show to where we want it to go. We have a chat room. If you didn't know, on the No Chaser, we had a chat room. We do have a chat room. If you'd like to jump in the chat room, it's www.blocktalkradio.com/V. As in Victor, I-C-H, B as in boy, K. Jump on that website. If you're not a member, just log in. And if you want to ask a question, comment, or make a statement on the chat room without calling me, fine. That's no problem. You don't want to talk to me, the hell with you. That's right. I said it. This is No Chaser. This is the show that is straight talk. So if you can't handle it, you shouldn't be here. Okay? Anyway, we're going to be talking about basketball. We're going to be talking about some NFL. And whatever else happens to hit my little feeble mind at the time. Now, like I said, I opened it up. I want winners. And all I do is win. Well, the theme of this portion of the show, we're going to be talking about the Heat versus the San Antonio Spurs. Now, for those who have been listening to me on various shows over various months or years, know that I am not a Miami Heat fan at all. No way. LeBron, forget it. Not a fan favorite of mine. Got to hand it to him. He does have skill. He right now he's the best player on the planet. But in my opinion, he's not a complete player. I mean, he gets talked up a lot by the media all the time. Why? Because everybody's looking for a hero. Everybody's looking for that one big dominant player that no one else can touch. Everybody's looking for that Michael factor, that Michael wow factor. LeBron, his game has been exposed, okay? He had a good game last night, but his game prior to that, he hadn't scored over 20 points in the first three games. And the reason for that is the San Antonio Spurs were playing the type of defense that didn't afford LeBron James to go to the hole, to bully his way to the hole. He had to settle for jump shots. Every now and then, quite naturally, he would get to the hole, but for the most part, they were keeping him out of the lane and having him shoot jump shots. Came to light in the third game where the Heat got blown out by over 30 points. The Heat in this past game yesterday went small. Mike Miller started instead of Haslam. So they went small so they can get up and down the floor. And it proved to be pretty fruitful, okay? Like I said, it enabled them to get up and down. They had San Antonio had a four. I mean, each they had their four guarding Dwayne Wade, which is a huge mismatch. They out pointed the San Antonio Spurs. How, I don't know. 50-38, which is crazy. They in rebounds, they 41-36, and they had more block shots. How's that happen? San Antonio Spurs definitely got the size advantage on Miami Heat. And what happens? Seven block shots. Let me put it this way. They had a lot of issues in this past game. Quite naturally, if you've been following this, Tony Parker has got a strained hamstring. Even though he got off to a good start in the game with 15 points and 6 assists in the first half, but he didn't score in the second half. He missed all four of his shots, and because I guess of the injury, that took a lot out of him, and he wore down in the second half. Especially, you know, by the third quarter, you could see it. And obviously he was feeling pretty good in the first half, but the second half, because of the fact now he's dealing with an injury, so he's got that on his mind, and he's got to watch himself that he doesn't completely blow his hamstring out. So that takes a little bit more physical effort, and along with some mental effort, to not let that happen. So quite naturally, in a game such as intense as this, with so much at stake and so much on the line, and you're dealing with something that it hampers your play, especially for Tony Parker, where he needs his legs for that explosiveness that he has, especially going to the basket. It's going to hamper his game. Quite naturally, it did. Excuse me. I don't know what's going on here. Just fortunately, he gets a couple of days off, and see if he can get a little better than what it was. But that wasn't the only problem. Manu Ginobili. What happened to him? 1-for-5 shooting on a night in game 4. What? He wasn't around near the end of the end of the quarters. He's been really ineffective. He's actually hurting the strong play by Gary Neal, who did have a good shooting night, and 4-for-7 overall, 3-for-4 on three pointers. But Manu Ginobili needs to pick up his play. Is he hurting? What's the problem here? Is the defensive intensity of Miami Heat that much that he can't deal with it? It's mind-boggling. And along with those two things, and those two guys are very important. I'm talking about Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. They have way too many turnovers. 19 turnovers in game 4. And that's a total, and I'm just reading these statistics, and I can't believe it. 4 games, a total of 36 in the 2 losses. So they average about 18 turnovers in the 2 losses that they lost. If they take care of the ball, they win the game. They take care of the ball, they win the game. So I don't understand why professional players and with a coach, and I'm not knocking the coach, but with a coach just like Greg Popovich, that they can't get to a place where they can take care of the ball more than they have. It's crazy that you would have an average of 18 turnovers in the two losses, well, quite honestly, and you can't seem to rectify that. Now, you would think that we get below 10, and that 10, you know, it's not the best, but it's by far a lot better than 18 per game per loss turnover ratio. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. You know, and I'm real anxious to see Game 5, which takes place, if I'm not mistaken. Game 5 takes place. I think it's Sunday. I'm almost positive it's Sunday. Let's check the schedule here. It is on Sunday. Yes, Father's Day. Game 5 is on Father's Day. So, hopefully, Tim Duncan and company, the last game that they'll play in the regular season, I mean in playoffs, is on Sunday in San Antonio. Hopefully they can come with their A game and at least go 3-2 before they have to go to Miami. Because if they go and lose this game in San Antonio, they'll be down 3-2 going to Miami. And it, in my opinion, there's no way, because Miami hasn't done it yet. Miami hasn't lost two games in a row in the playoffs. They haven't lost two games in a row. It's always back and forth, back and forth. If you see any of these playoff series that Miami has been up in, it's always win one, lose one. Win one, lose one. Win one, lose one. I mean, quite naturally, in Milwaukee, they never even lost one. But against Indiana, win one, lose one. Win one, lose one. That's why I went to Game 7 in Miami. They won it. So what's going to happen? San Antonio. The pressure was on Miami in Game 4 because they couldn't go down 3-1 to San Antonio with two more games to play. One more game to play in San Antonio with a chance of San Antonio closing it out. And they weren't going to beat San Antonio three games in a row. That wasn't going to happen. San Antonio has had a good record in the playoffs. And to lose two games in a row, I don't think that was three games in a row, because they would have been down 3-1, and Miami would have had to win the last game in San Antonio and both games in Miami. And you think that's going to happen? Not. Definitely not. So right now, the pressure is back on San Antonio. It was on Miami this last game. Miami stepped up to the plate and did what they had to do, took care of business. Quite naturally, they're going to try to get another win in San Antonio, but the pressure is back on San Antonio to not go down 2-3 going into Miami. So we'll see what happens. I mean, we'll see what kind of adjustments Greg Popovich can make. Hopefully, Tony Parker, and I think that was a huge key. You know, Miami's been pretty fortunate here in these series, especially in Chicago when all these guys got hurt. So they really didn't play anybody to speak of. I mean, Chicago gave them a hard time. They played Indiana. Okay, they did. They took Indiana again, like from last year. Took them to seven games with inexperience and all the play that all the things that go with Indiana. They weren't ready for a prime time play, so Miami got through that. I still say the Knicks would have given them a harder time. I still say the Knicks had a better shot, but I digress. I still think San Antonio. I call San Antonio to win this, and I still think they can. I'm gonna step away for a minute, take a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll continue to talk.
If you're into fantasy sports, you're going to love the Fantasy Sports Show with host Victor Gardner and co-hosts Jerry and Black every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. This show is so hot, I can only play the intro.
Fantasy Sports and Policy.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Fantasy Sports Show. Information, motivation, variety.
That's the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show, heard on 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Saturdays. Tune in. I will be there with Mr. Gardner as the host, and just like you heard, I am the co-host of that show, and I can say without reservation that's a very informative show. It's a very good show in my opinion, and I'm not being biased. I think it's a very good show, a lot of variety, and we talk about a lot of sports subjects. We talk about politics too, so you never know what we're going to delve into from show to show. You should tune in and see if you like it. I mean, that's one of many shows that we have. We have other shows. I'm going to be running commercials, promo with each of the shows, and I'll talk to you about it shortly after the promo to give you a little bit more info. But you should tune in to the FSP show Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 o'clock Pacific time. Either way, wherever you are, East Coast, West Coast, judge the time accordingly. Like I said, it's 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to jump on, feel free. We are a equal opportunity show that accepts all calls from all walks of life, and from whatever subject you want to bring up. It's FSP, but that doesn't mean that we can't talk about anything you like to talk to. Anyway, like I said, I think the Spurs have a lot of pressure on them now. They have to make the adjustments. I would think that the Heat are going to stay with this lineup until it doesn't work anymore. Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade scored 32 points. Chris Bosh, showed up in this game. He had 16 points. Wait a minute. Get it right. If you're going to say it, Jerry, you might as well get it right. Am I right about that? Well, this is the deal here. God, why am I doing this? This is not what I want. This is not what I want. Let me go back here, and we do it like this. Like this. I apologize. I want to get the right information to you, and then we'll go from there. Oh, damn it. This one here. All right. Chris Bosh had 13 points. Let me go this way. This is, sorry about that. Chris Bosh had 20 points and 13 rebounds, which is a solid, very solid game from Chris Bosh, along with two blocks. LeBron James broke that 20 threshold, had 33 points with two blocks also and 11 rebounds. And then the much criticized for the last few games, at least, Dwayne Wade had 32 points, accounted himself well, along with six rebounds and four assists and six steals. So Dwayne Wade, his knee must have been feeling better. They must have shot him up, numbed it, or whatever they had to do to get him right, to make get him to feel the way he did, and for him to play the way he did. So you're going to have a hard time beating the Miami Heat when your big three, when your big three show up and score 85 points. And your other supposedly big three, meaning Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili, score 40 points, less than half of what the other big three of Miami scored. Manu Ginobili, check this line out. 5 points, 4 personal fouls, no blocks, no steals, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. Where, oh, where has my Ginobili gone? That's all I got to say. Where has he gone? That makes no sense that Manu Ginobili hadn't showed up. He didn't have a real good game last game, and this is even worse. Is he hurting? Is it one of these injuries that no one's talking about, but he's hurting that bad? At least Tony Parker had an excuse, but he scored 15 points. But most of those points, all those points were in the first half. He scored no points in the second half. So he had 15 points, 4 rebounds. So even when he was hurt, he had more rebounds than Manu Ginobili. Even when he was hurt, he had more assists. He had 9 assists, almost a double-double with a strained hamstring. And Manu Ginobili needed to show up. Kawhi Leonard showed up with 12 points. Danny Green had 10. So 93 points they score all together. Not those 4 guys I named, but 93 points, or 5 guys I named, 93 points total the team scored. And it got beat by 16 points because Miami scored 109. Where's the defense? You guys rested on your laurels from the game before? 36 points. You beat them by, and you lose by 16 the next game? What kind of sense does that make? Figure that one out. Come on, guys. My esteemed host, if you ever watch him on Facebook, Mac Williams, he tears Miami Heat fans up, win, lose, or draw. Doesn't make a difference. Win, lose, or draw, Mac is going to tell you how it is. He's not a LeBron fan, no way, no how, not even close. Not even a Miami Heat fan, no way, no how, not even close. Now, like he said, all you Heat fans out there are going to be jumping from the roofs, shouting from the roofs, I should say, about how great your team is and how superior LeBron James is. Well, they won this game. He scored 33 points. Okay? Got to give it to him. He scored 33 points. How are you going to win by 16 against this team and then the game before lose by over 30? Almost 40 points you lose by. 36 points, I think, that he lost by. And you look like a punk, man. You look like you had no heart in the game at all. Regardless, you just like. And you're supposed to be the best player on the planet? Now, I'm saying right now he's the best player on the planet. Some people tell me, have told me, Victor, host of the FSP show, that he thinks Kobe Bryant is. Well, Kobe Bryant is a very extremely good player, but Kobe Bryant is past his prime. So even though you think because of Kobe Bryant's play, And the fire Kobe Bryant displays on the court compared to LeBron James, the killer instinct Kobe Bryant displays compared to LeBron James, that Kobe Bryant's a better player right now? No. Kobe Bryant's 37 years old. LeBron's younger than that. LeBron's the best player on the planet, talent-wise. I'm not talking about heart. Not talking about killer instinct. I'm talking about talent-wise. Just strictly on talent, LeBron James. 6'8", can jump, can handle, can dish. 6'8", LeBron James is the real deal. Now, like I said, I'm not a LeBron James fan, but you got to hand it to the man that he can play. Now, if I've said this before, if it comes down to one shot, who would I rather have take it? When between two choices, LeBron or Kobe Bryant, I would say if I had 10 people, at least 8 out of 10, maybe 9 out of 10 would say I were in that scenario with one shot to take to win the game, and you had a choice on the court between LeBron James and Kobe Bryant to take it, I think, for the most part, in my opinion, 9 out of 10 people would take Kobe Bryant because the way Kobe Bryant is, the demeanor at that time of the game Kobe Bryant has, the desire, the will, unafraid to give me the ball, unafraid to take it, I'll take the weight type of attitude that Kobe Bryant displays on the court. There's no doubt in my mind. Last shot taken, Kobe Bryant. Black Mamba will take that shot for me every day of the week without hesitation. If he misses it, at least I gave it to who I was comfortable with. If he makes it, then whoever is giving him the opportunity to take that shot is a genius. Kobe Bryant is by far, the type of player that you will want to take the last shot in a close game, in a big game, regardless of the situation. If it's a regular season game or a playoff game, even a championship game, last shot, take it, Kobe Bryant, and do what you do best. The Black Mamba strikes again. That being said, we got about 32 minutes, about half hour left in the show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. I'm going to give you another promo about the upcoming shows. That was about the Saturday show. This one here is going to be about the Sunday show.
If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety.
I'm not blowing my own horn, but it is what it is. The Master Plan is on 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday. I talk a lot about fantasy stuff. Right now it's the season of fantasy baseball, so I'll be talking about fantasy baseball come this Sunday. Also start gearing up for fantasy football, which is my forte, which is something I really like. I'm really not going to blow my own horn, but I'm just saying, if I was a fantasy football player and I wanted to get some news from, I wouldn't say an unorthodox spot, I would listen to The Master Plan. I'm not calling myself an expert. I say it all the time when I'm on my show and other shows that I don't pay attention to so-called experts. I take it information from a lot of places, and often I go with my gut feeling because of what I feel I know about the game of football and what I feel about the game of fantasy football and convey that information out to you. I think I've been pretty good on my analysis of a few things, quite a few things, and I enjoy giving information out. It could be to my detriment, but it is what it is, because I'm in a lot of leagues that I play. Same people listen to what I have to say, and I've had it for a few times that they've grabbed players or taken players that I've talked about on my show ahead of me instead of me, and it's at times done me in, but that's fine because I'm quite naturally I'm in it to win it. But there's a lot of players out there. There's a lot of information to convey. Can't get everything, every choice or every decision that I make or to give out to you correct, but I try to do my best. Tune into the master plan. That's all I can tell you. I do talk about other issues, that social issues when it hits me. But for the most part, I'm a sports-oriented program, mainly focusing on fantasy games like in football and baseball. And I do delve into some basketball at times because I've done basketball. I play all different the main fantasy games, football, basketball, and baseball. I do play those games. I've had success in all three of those games, and I want to give you the help. I'll give you the information to help try to get you to the playoffs and the championship. So tune in, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday. And I said that it talked about that too long, but it is what it is, and we go from there. Like I said, I was talking about basketball, and I said that the San Antonio Spurs went by 36 on a few days ago, and then lose by 16 on Thursday. Come on, man. That's a 40-point swing. 40-point swing. It's even more than that. So you take 36 away, that's 36. That's 36, and you add 16. That's 52-point swing. What's up with that? That's crazy. That's over half a basketball. Most teams don't score 56 points and a half. So you know what I'm saying? You're 52 points, that's crazy. That's crazy, 52-point swing. You figure that, okay, you take that 36 away. Now we're at even, all right? Then you add 16 more to that. That's 52 points. That means from the first game to the last game, you lost 52 points. You get outscored by 16 when you won the previous game by 36. Wow. That's all I can say is wow. Anyway, we got about 25 minutes left in the show. Let's move on. I also want to talk about this. This is absolutely nuts, in my opinion. You got a guy that playing basketball at a very high level, moved a few teams. Every team he went, he helped that team to win. Was an outstanding player for a lot of years. Outstanding, one of the best point guards in the league. By far one of the best point guards in the league. Well-respected point guard throughout the league. Old man at 40, he decides to retire, decides to hang it up. And then about 2 weeks later, he gets hired from one of the teams that he used to play for. They're one of the teams that he helped take to a championship, even though they didn't win it. Jason Kidd, head coach of the Brooklyn, formerly New Jersey Nets. Come on, man. I understand that he's got a mind for the game. I understand that he's like a coach on the floor. I understand that. But He's a player that just retired. I understand that for the most part, this was done to give a kick in the ass or to Deron Williams, to get him going, get his mind right. I understand that, and I've said this before, and I still say it again, that the Brooklyn Nets are a soft team. They proved it against the Chicago Bulls, and the Leopard can't change his spots. I'll tell you that right now. Cannot change his spots. You either have fire in the belly or you don't. You either don't step up to the plate and man up, or you punk out like the Nets did. They went quietly into that night. And I don't think it's going to change. I mean, kid may have a more up-tempo type of game, which will be welcomed by Deron Williams and company, up-tempo. But you got to play defense somehow. You got to be able to want to take that shot or be tough in crunch time. You got to show some type of fortitude when it needs to be showed. The Brooklyn Nets, Avery Johnson got fired over it. P.J. Carlissimo didn't get re-upped or they didn't want him to come back. So you think Jason Kidd, an unproven coach, just recently retired 40-year-old basketball player, is going to be able to get that much more out of the Brooklyn Nets, specifically Deron Williams? He's got to be a bad man. I mean, what happened to Patrick Ewing as getting a shot? You bring in Brian Shaw, but that was on a humbug. Once I heard the news that Jason Kidd was in negotiating a signing contract, why even come, Brian? Why even come? I wouldn't even showed up for the simple fact is if it's a done deal, they're just playing you. They're just playing you. If it's a done deal, they're just playing you, and you allowed yourself to be played. Now, are these guys, the two guys I'm talking about, Brian Shaw and especially Patrick Ewing, who's been trying to get a head coaching job for almost a decade, is he for almost a decade, Patrick Ewing is trying to get a deal, a head coaching job. Now he had to take an assistant head coach or whatever type of head coaching job that he has in Charlotte, where Michael Jordan is the one of the owners, which is a really bad Charlotte team. I don't know if he's hoping to get possibly if the coach gets fired for lousy play that he's got a shot to getting a head coaching job. I don't know. Are these guys a bad interview? They don't present themselves well. They don't present their vision well on what they can do for a team. I don't know. You have to ask the owners that interview them, because the fact is that Patrick Ewing, I think, is more than well qualified. Brian Shaw had been under the tutelage of Phil Jackson for years, and you would think that someone with the knowledge and the experience of being under one of the most successful head coaches in NBA history would be a hot commodity or would be a welcome addition to any franchise. And these two guys can't seem to get a break. These two guys cannot seem to get a break. I don't understand it. And from what I understand, the there's two coaches. Eric Spoelstra, the coach of the Miami Heat, and Greg Popovich. You guys both know who these coaches are. From the San Antonio Spurs, had this to say: "I think it's a terrible state for the profession right now. For true success in the NBA, you must have consistency of culture. When you see that type of turnover and over and over again, it's impossible to create any kind of sustainable culture, and we don't see it as a coincidence. We see it differently." Now, and they're talking about the at least 12 teams of the league's 30 teams have either hired or are in the process of searching for a new coach since the end of regular season. Popovich says the change thing doesn't really work, and you can see that in a lot of organizations. When things don't happen quickly, I think some owners become frustrated. Some even take it personally, almost like a little bit of an embarrassment because they've been so successful in their own way and have a hard time understanding the business. I have to totally agree with both these guys. It's like, you know, come on. You get guys like Lionel Hollins that with the Denver – Memphis Grizzlies that took them to the finals of the Western Conference, put them in playoffs for the first time, and they don't want them back? What? That makes no sense. That makes no sense to me at all. I'm surprised. You got somebody like I'm not a real big fan of him, but Vinny DeNegro. The Clippers hadn't been in the playoffs in a while. Had Chris Paul, Blake Griffin and company, had a very good lineup. The starting five and even the second five could have been started on most teams. They went to the playoffs, but because he got bounced out early, they got rid of Vinny DeNegro. I don't understand it. I don't understand. I mean, either you win the first season, you're out, or you're out in some of these organizations. I mean, what's up with that? You take a team to the Western Conference Finals, and you're out. Coach of the Year, George Karl, Denver Nuggets. Been with the team for what, 9 seasons or whatever. I think he took him to the finals one, and been bounced out the other eight seasons. He's out, and he just became coach of the year this past season. That's crazy. I don't know. I don't understand it. And I know a lot of the coaches that got canned don't understand it. So it is what it is. And but I don't like it. And I don't know if it's going to change. I mean, it seems like even the owners, you know, you think these owners are older guys for the most part, been successful in business. They understand that things don't happen overnight. You got to work toward things and work toward being successful. Are they buying into what this generation now is, one instant gratification? They want to win now. I understand that. You put a lot of money, you got a lot of money out there, you want to win now. But depending on the type of team you had, or depending on the situation that you had previously before this coach took over, and he turns it around and made it successful, like a lot of these coaches, I've been talking about, and you're going to can the guy? I don't know. Let's promo another show. Let's go and talk about this one right here.
You all know and love her from the WNBA, but now you can hear her every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. It's Time Out with Sylvia Crawley.
This is Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. I'm your host. I have a very interesting show lined up for you tonight. We have Mr. Otis Winston. Otis, thank you so much for being on the show.
You know it's my pleasure, Sylv.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Information, motivation, variety.
Sylvia Crawley, Time Out. It's a very, very, very good show. Sylvia is a very, extremely good host. She has a lot of interesting people on there. Her first show with Marion Jones, the Olympic gold medalist Marion Jones. That was a very good show. Her last show had to do with abuse. And that was another extremely show. So her show is very diverse. She's probably one of the most diverse shows that we have in our network of shows. Right now, you quite naturally listen to No Chaser, which is a straight talk type of show. We cover a lot of subjects also. On Saturday, I already gave you the promo for that. It's FFP show, which is 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. All these are Eastern Standard Time. And it is what it is, fantasy sports and politics. We talk a lot about fantasy games, and sports quite naturally is involved in that. And I also gave you a promo about the master plan. Well, simply Crawley is completely different from those. She gives you a different perspective, comes out a different way, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday. Tune in. You'll be riveted to what she has to say and the guests she has to appear from week to week. With that being said, let's move on. We got about 12 minutes left in the show. Let's move on to what am I going to be talking about here now? Now, you know the Boston Celtics got eliminated by the New York Knicks. This is going to be in a lot of basketball, this show. Boston Celtics got eliminated quite a bit by the Boston Celtics got eliminated by the New York Knicks. There was a lot of talk that Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, who has a team option worth about $15 million, that he has to decide by June 30th, or the decision has to be made by June 30th. The team can either buy him out for $5 million before that date, or they can keep him under contract and possibly look to deal him. They can always keep him for one more season. Well, that's the option the team has, and they have to make a decision by the 30th. The futures of Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett are not expected to be decided until after the June 27th draft. Quite naturally, if you've been watching, listening to basketball and the things that are going on in basketball, especially the Boston Celtics, Garnett is known to be considering retirement, and will let the Celtics roster decisions play out before he makes his decision. If Paul Pierce returns to Boston, it would probably increase the process of Garnett coming back, and that probably will also factor into whether Doc Rivers decide somehow to get out of his contract in Boston and go to other teams. Specifically, could be the Memphis Grizzlies, could be the Denver Nuggets, could be the Los Angeles Clippers. I think quite a bit of Doc Rivers as a coach, and I think he would be a good fit in all three of those venues. But we have to wait and see what happens Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. I think it's a domino effect. If they decide to buy out his contract, more than likely Kevin Garnett is not going to be back, and more than likely Doc Rivers will not be back also, because he doesn't want to be involved in a rebuilding mode. In this stage of his career, he'd rather have a team that's got some pieces on it that he can work with, not a rebuilding team when you have two of the mainstays in Boston for a bit leave. The only surefire thing that you have is Rajon Rondo coming back from a torn ACL injury, and then a lot of miscellaneous parts from there. So you figure that by the draft, or definitely by the 30th, or before the 30th, this is going to all play out, and you'll see that Kevin Garnett and or Paul Pierce will stay or leave the Boston Celtics. And that's included also with the coach, Doc Rivers, and whether Danny Ainge is going to let Doc Rivers go to whatever these teams. You could best believe that if he lets Doc Rivers go, because he refused to let any team talk to Doc Rivers when other teams came knocking on the door asking, can we talk to Doc Rivers about our head coaching job? Danny Ainge said, hell no, you can't. He's on a contract for me, and I'm not affording him the opportunity to go talk to somebody else, not unless you're going to give me some heavy compensation. And that means draft picks. That may mean even players. And a lot of teams, you know, it's a coach. Coach gets paid a lot less than some of these players. And unless you have pieces in place that you can afford to let go to get the coach that try to take you to the next level, meaning a conference championship and even to a NBA final. But you have to wait and see to see what happens. This is what, the 14th, so we got a little more than 2 weeks left. Have to wait and see what happens, and see if that's going to pan out. The other news that I like to come out with is this, and I just saw this, and it seems like the Kobe Bryant once said he was going to play one more year. Now it looks like he says he wants to play two more years. So he's going to come back from this torn Achilles, hopefully, and try to play back to his normal level, and hopefully get a team around him that's going to be able to contend for the NBA title. I don't see it. I think he's hallucinating about his ability to come back from this and the type of team that he's going to have around him come the 2014 season. I don't think it's going to happen. I'd be very surprised. 2013-2014 season. I don't think it's going to happen. I think his days are numbered. And I didn't say numbered, but his days as in being a serious playoff contending team as the Lakers is definitely not going to happen. There's too many strong teams out there that Denver, Golden State, OKC, San Antonio, Los Angeles Clippers, and I know I'm leaving teams out, but I apologize for that. But there's teams out there that are going to be much better than the Lakers. Lakers are not going to get into the playoffs. I think their playoff run, for the most part, is over. They didn't make the playoffs this year, and I really don't think they're going to make the playoffs for the next few years, because each of these teams, the Lakers are an older team. I know they have some young parts, but they're an older team, and their prime-time player is an older player, and he's coming back from a serious injury. I don't think he's going to be able to come back and be as effective as he was. I mean, modern science is doing wondrous things to Achilles and to ACLs, but he's an older player, okay? And he wasn't at the top of his game. He was on the downside of his game. So for that to take place, that he thinks he's going to come back and he wants to play for two more shots at the title, well, those two shots are just going to be that. He's going to be the shots, but they're really not going to be realistic shots. He's going to play. He's probably going to get injured again when he comes back because the fact is he's going to press too hard, and he's an older player. So it's the fact is that Lakers are going to go through a downturn in their play. Mike D'Antoni is not the type of coach that you want for the coach. That was a poor decision on their part, trying to make a stamp on the team. And Jim Buss is a sorry-ass GM, personnel guy with a huge ego. Daddy's kid now. He runs the team. And it is what it is. What can I say? I don't think they're going to be effective. Let me put it that way. And the other news is this, and this recently came across here this afternoon, is that Chris Paul and Dwight Howard have been in consistent contact recently about the possibility of becoming teammates next season. Paul and Howard will be the biggest free agents on the market this summer, and their desire is to play together. Okay. So who is going to package these guys? Because you know what? Chris Paul is going to go into negotiations with a team that says, look, I'll come here if you can get Dwight. And I think Dwight's going to do the same thing. I said, I'll come here if you get Chris. Atlantic Hawks will make it happen. You know, because the reason I'm saying that, Atlanta is Dwight Howard's hometown. They have the cap room to sign both players to maximum salary contracts. Even though Howard's not the most enthusiastic guy about coming back to Atlanta, but he would do so if Chris Paul came. So I'm not a big Dwight Howard fan. And it sounds like, well, he's not a fan of anybody. Well, there's two players that I'm really not a big fan of. LeBron is one of them. I still say LeBron is the best player on the planet. Dwight Howard is the softest big man I've seen in a while outside of Chris Bosh. So those two guys are who they are, especially Dwight, his stature, being a much more physical player, but soft in the head and heart. Hey, I say it like it is. What can I tell you? With that being said, I want to thank you for joining me. Tune in next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this Friday, or next Friday, where Mac will return, and I will also be in the house as the co-host of the No Chaser Show. Tune in tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where it will be FSP show. Like I said, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday, and on Sunday. You know where the place to be. It will be the master plan. And that's who I am. And that's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. With that being said, I want to thank you for listening. Have a good weekend and happy Father's Day to all those fathers out there. Enjoy the day. It's your day. You do what you want to do. You deserve it. Peace.